We also, I see, B brought budgets that are being proposed for the coming year. By constitution, our congregation has to do two things. One, adopt the budget for the coming year, and also affirm the board. We will have two new board members coming on. I'm very grateful and blessed for that. But if you have any questions about the budget, see B. Anything you want to say about it, B?
Not yet. Just please come to the annual meeting so you know what's going on.
Okay. It's right after the morning service. It moves right along. Kelly does a great job in facilitating that, so you'll still be able to be out by lunchtime. So, any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. One that is not on there, I didn't know about it until yesterday, but Katie Epley at therapy fell, and she had broke her foot in two places. The pain is being controlled, but she's not able to drive. She's going to the doctor on Monday, so keep Katie in your prayers, and I'll keep all of you posted. Anyone else for prayer? Carol?
The family of Rick Faust.
A lot of you may know Rick. He was, for many years, the general manager of Grand Piano on Ford Avenue. So keep Rick, or keep his family, Kim, his wife, the children, in prayer. Thank you. Yes, Webb.
I was just going to say, Tom, that's in the bulletin, you didn't mention it, the love offering from Mona.
Yes. That'll be the first and third. Thank you, Webb. If you'd like to give a gift beyond your tithes and offerings, you can simply make it out to the church and put Mona Thomas in the memo line. Thanks, ma'am. Any other prayer requests? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we are eternally grateful that the God, the Creator God, the God of the universe, the King above all kings, the one who is all powerful, is also all compassion, all good. For we know that all good gifts come from you. And we are blessed to know that the one who's absolutely is, we sing, holding this world in his hand, is holding all of us in hands that were scarred out of love. And we thank you for not only your love for us, but we thank you that you are the Almighty. And we celebrate you as being truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that you entertain our presence and you desire our cares to be given. We pray that you'd be with all those that we have in our heart. Many are reflected here on this prayer list. Many we just hold privately, maybe even in ourselves. And we bring them to you, knowing that you care. And we leave them with you. In particular, we lift up the ones that were mentioned. You think of our sister Katie. May the pain continue to be at a minimum, and may the healing be forthright, and just bless her and strengthen her. Be with the Faust family. Just bless them. And in this time of tragedy, the shock of a sudden loss is just so sad, especially at this time of year. Be with all those that this time of year is not only joyous but can be difficult. Be with all those who will be traveling this week. Give traveling mercies. Thank you for bringing Dave back to us from his trip to California. And we just pray that you be with Carolyn and others as they're traveling, and with those that will be on the nation's highways this coming week. We thank you for this opportunity to worship. May we truly lift high the name, the only name that's above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. And in that name we pray. Amen. We gather always and only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, For you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 93, which will also be the sermon text. To call each to worship. Then we'll stand and sing 314, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. The Lord is King. He has put on splendid apparel. The Lord has put on his apparel and girded himself with strength.
He has made the whole world so sure that it cannot be moved.
Ever since the world began, your throne has been established. You are from everlasting.
The waters have lifted up on the river. The waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their pounding waves.
Mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, mightier is the Lord who dwells on high.
Your testimonies are very sure, and holiness adorns your house, Lord, forever.
Thank you.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 4 to 6. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
You have crowned your Son as King, and by him will renew your whole creation. May the families of the earth now torn apart and yoked by sin find liberty in him and be subjected to his gentle rule. Grant this, we pray, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as we have been instructed by our Lord to pray, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 4b and ending in verse 8. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
and we give you but thine own. We praise your holy and exalted name, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. And it is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake, thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, the last two or three weeks, this has been a beautiful, beautiful month. And you know what's added to its beauty? Is we haven't had to endure any more political ads on TV. You know the best thing about politics? It's temporary. And see, as Americans, as those in the West, as most of us, I dare say, in this room, when we talk about Christ the King, we don't really have the foggiest as far as a lived understanding of that, because most of us have never lived in a setting where we had a king. We just know politics. And the best thing about politics is that it is temporary. But when we think about the kingdom of God and Christ being a king, I thought the best way to get at it is I'm going to just have three simple points that even if you don't pay attention, you're going to sing it in a few minutes, for it'll be the final hymn that we'll sing together before the benediction. And what you will sing are the words, and the words of my 3 points of the sermon is, lead on, O King, eternal. Everything that I want to stress today about Christ being the King, I'll do under those three headings, but I'm going to do it backwards. The most important word that we will say is, lead on, O King, eternal. Let's start with the eternal. Where politics are temporary, Psalm 93, which will be the text that I will be looking at, it's in your... Psalm 93 is actually a commentary, an extended commentary, on what the psalmist says in Psalm 92, in verse 8 of Psalm 92, when they are praising how great the works of Yahweh would be. He says in verse 8 of Psalm 92, but you, O Lord, are on high forever. Don't you love that word, forever? You know, the truth of the matter is, it's a whole lot better to be consistent than to have great highs and be spectacular. We honor people like Cal Ripken and others that just stay at it because everything seems to be temporary, except for the majesty and the might of our God. It is eternal. And when he gets to Psalm 93, in these short five verses, we see that he is not only eternal, but he's eternally placed as our king. Do any of you have plans already for May the 29th of this year? Unless it's somebody's birthday. My hunch is the day will come and go, and very little will be recognized as the past holiday came and went in May, and we really don't recognize it much. And I must confess, it doesn't have the weight in my own celebration that it should. And that is the Sunday, or the day we recognize as Ascension Sunday. Most of us don't really have Ascension Sunday parties. We don't exchange gifts on Ascension Sunday. But the early church understood far better than we do. They called it the session, that it was when Jesus ascended on high, completing his job. And what did he do? We confess it in the Apostles' Creed. When he ascended on high, he did what? He sat down. His work was finished. And he not only sat down, but he sat down to eternally be at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority and power. He sat down. We call that the session. I want you to think of it as when a judge would sit down. When a judge would sit down, that court is in session. And when the court is in session, we know we have a new king. But unlike anyone we politically elect, this king is made king not by our own choice, but by the Father's choice, and it is forever. So when we sing, we must confess that the number one thing about his reign is it's eternal. The second phrase we're going to say is, lead on, O King. And we see in Psalm 93, two aspects of his kingdom. We see in verse 1, the Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The word here for majesty in Hebrew basically means to be proud. It basically means to be elevated, to put yourself forward. See, pride is not a bad thing. It's just inappropriate for us to be proud, because we don't have much to put forward. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's appropriate for God to be proud, to be forward, because it's quite fitting to who he is and how he works. I thought about this several years ago. I went through the if you've ever done it, you know it's a very painful process of having a home renovated. And I don't know anything about carpentry, or I can swing a hammer sometimes, but I'm not real good at any of that. But I learned a new term in talking with these contractors. They would look at a piece of wood, or they'd look at trim, and they'd say, well, that looks like it's about 2 inches proud. Do you carpenters know that term? And I had to ask them, what do you mean? That sounds strange. How's that wood proud? Oh, well, that's just what carpenters say when one piece of wood is sticking out further than another. And I thought, well, that's a good definition of pride. Human pride is so inappropriate, because when I try to stick out above others, it's quite unbecoming. It's quite inappropriate. But God, Jesus Christ, by his work and by his nature, so far is above us all. The majesty. We clothe him in majesty. But the second thing we see, he's not only robed in majesty, the Lord is robed, he has put strength as his belt. We not only see this in the stability of creation, nothing will move creation, but we also see it in the subjugation of his enemies. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their roaring, mightier than the thunder of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. In the scripture, ocean and water is reflective or symbolic, I should say, used to refer to political power. We can understand that. We can look at the ocean and tell it's powerful. We can look at the ocean and know it's deadly. We can look at the ocean and know it's hard to control or understand. When we look at the political system, when we look at those that seek to have power, it can seem overwhelming as looking at the Atlantic Ocean. This image is used in other places in Psalm 2. The psalmist says that the nations roar like waves. But it's wonderful to know that the King that's eternal, do you remember in Psalm 2 what it said that God does on high when the nations roar down below? He laughs. A laugh of derision. Because no matter how loud we might try to roar, God's voice is louder, and he subjects all of his enemies. You look through scripture, God tends to do his best work in front of enemies, doesn't he? I like to sort of work without anybody watching me. You know, when I go out and golf by myself, it's not that I'm being dishonest in my scorekeeping, but I truly am a better golfer when I'm alone. And anyone that's golfed with me knows that's got to be true, because I couldn't be any worse. But it's something. Don't you know it's something when you know you're being watched? I haven't asked him, but Mark, you probably felt some pressure today. And you're doing great. We don't like being watched. We definitely don't being watched if we think we're being watched with a critical eye. When we think someone is observing everything we're doing, just waiting for us to mess up so that they can call us out on it. God, on the other hand, tends to do his best work in the presence of his enemies. We read in Revelation 12 that when this woman, symbolic of Mary, was going to give birth to this child, this male child, that Satan is there waiting to devour the child. We know that it came true in Herod as well, in the killing of the holy innocents. He did his best when he was surrounded by all the enemies, when he was on the cross, and he defeated sin at the cross. And then we'll partake in a few moments. We know in Psalm 23 that he also sets table in the presence of his enemies. So enemies don't bother God. And in our kingdom that we're a part of, that royal priesthood that we by Christ are placed in, we really don't need to be fearful of our enemies. We'll have them. They'll roar. They'll bark. They'll criticize. They'll bring a charge against God's elect. But we know that in him, his voice is much louder and drowns out every other voice. So that leads to the first thing we'll say, but the third thing in flow. He's eternal, therefore he's the King, therefore we need to follow him. Lead on, O King Eternal. You know, if you think about it, there's a phrase that we see, and if you've never said it, I know you've had this thought. The phrase, "No Lord," is an oxymoron. To say no Lord is like saying a square circle. It can't be a circle if it's also square. And if it's a square, it's not a circle. If he's Lord, I can't say no Lord. I can't at the same time say no and then call you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you are the Lord of Lords, the only thing that I can say is yes, Lord. But to say, no, Lord, to not follow him, as C.S. Lewis pointed out, to just say you're a nominal Christian, or you can take or leave it, doesn't make sense. If he's not the King, let's find something else to do and be more honest. And if he is the King, it's got to be the most supremely important thing
in our being to follow as he leads on.
We talked about the court being in session. I try to do my appointments and visits and then wind up back to the house in the afternoon. And since my tendonitis, I like to have background music or noise. And it works out as I sit and read and do sermon work because Mom likes to, she goes into court every afternoon. And there's this woman named Judge Judy. And a lot of people love to watch Judge Judy, and I think it's only because they are grateful she's on the tube and they can turn her off, because no one would want to be in Judge Judy's presence. But Judge Judy, when she's in court, when she is in session, she is very clear, and she will say that no one's opinion matters in this house but mine. And as we understand the court of law, she's right. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, in Christ's court, where he is seated and court is in session, his court is everyone. His court is everything. His court is everywhere, all the time. This is my Father's world. And he is sitting in court. And that's beautiful, because our job is simple. We only need to know, to whom do we need to listen? The only one whose voice matters in this court is his. And the beautiful thing about that is, we get to know who not to listen to. Who are not the kings. Whose voices don't matter. I made a list. Here's some voices that you may hear that don't matter. The voices that float around in your head that were formed from tragedies or traumas that you've endured as a child or through life. Those voices are not your king. Your demanding boss who never seems to be satisfied is not your king. Your critical co-worker is not your king. Now, this might be a shock. Your mother-in-law or your father-in-law, they're not your kings. Your doctor, your oncologist, the medical report you may have received, that's not your king. Your gossiping former friend is not your king. No celebrity is your king. No newscasters or anchors on anything are your king. And no politician on any side is your king. In this court, only one voice is recognized and only one opinion matters. And don't tell Judge Judy, but our king is none other than whom? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Court is in session. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Glory and dominion be to you, Lord God, for your word was alive in creation, is present in the power of the Spirit, and will come in glory on the last day. You made with the house of David an everlasting covenant, and your goodness is like the sun on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on a grassy land. You sent Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom of priests serving you forever. And so with all the company of heaven, we rejoice to sing your praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of truth, your Son came to testify to you and lead us into all righteousness. You have prepared for us such things as pass our understanding. Send your Holy Spirit upon your people, that your word may be on our lips. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is coming again.
God of all beginnings and endings, your Son declared his kingdom was not of this world. Bless the governance of every earthly kingdom, that it may be ruled justly in spirit and in truth. Visit your children who live in fear, dwell under oppression, experience cruelty, or suffer discrimination. Turn struggle into hope, hope into freedom, freedom into justice, and justice into love. Bring to those who have never known you or have forgotten or rejected you the light of your grace and the thirst for your mercy. Until your Son comes with the clouds, and all eyes will see him, and every tribe and tongue will lift your name on high. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, when we talk of an individual and when we talk of a being as a triune God, you can talk about who they are, their attributes, and what they do, their behavior and actions. It's interesting, it struck me again anew, that in the two creeds the church is built upon, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, there's a whole lot about what the triune God does in their redeeming act of humankind. But there's only one attribute that's mentioned. Only one thing is said about God. And you may remember, it's, as we just said, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." Almighty. The one thing that encapsulates everything about God is he's almighty. But the truth of the matter is, the Almighty, who is all power, laid down that power so those of us who had no power could be redeemed and held in his goodness. Our King was sacrificed for each one of the subjects out of love. So I ask all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive the very body and blood of Christ, to pray, and to say again, "I will follow you, my King and my Redeemer." He is our Passover Lamb. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Our gracious God, our risen King, we thank you that we go forth following the one who truly holds all things in his hands. May we go forth in peace, knowing that all is well. May we go forth in joy, knowing that we are redeemed by the one who holds court. And may we go forth with great hope to see where our King will lead. And may it all be to the absolute praise of your holy name. And may we follow through your Spirit as faithful children of our loving Heavenly Father. And we pray in that most holy name. Amen. Let us stand and confess. 659, lead on, O King. Upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thank you.